being here. Thank you for having me here. I just thank Pastor Andrew for allowing me this opportunity, and thank you all for allowing me this opportunity to speak. I'm very excited about what the Lord's been showing me lately about the heart and about just how to handle life in practical ways. So I'm excited to share that today. There will be some group participation, but you don't have to move from your seats because I don't mind participating personally, but the moving from the seats really bothers me, so I'm not going to make you do that. So my question, first of all, the first thing I want to talk about is facts versus truth. I'll pray first. Thank you, Father, for your truth. Thank you for speaking truth through me, Lord. I thank you for speaking to each person's heart, Lord. I thank you for your practical tools and how to walk in this earth, Lord, the way that your son did, Lord. And I thank you for, I just ask that you open everyone's minds and hearts to hear what you want to reveal to them today, personally through your Holy Spirit for each person today, Lord. And I thank you for speaking, using my mouth to speak, Lord. And I thank you that everything that I say will glorify you, will lift you up, Lord, and will be a blessing to everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So facts versus truth. So we grow up with a whole lot of facts. And we don't know that it's not true until the Lord comes in and shows us. So here's an example. How many of you are ticklish in here? So, and I'm talking about your dad, your mom, whoever has tickled you in life, if maybe they're in heaven or they're not here, like if they were here right now in some way, they could make you laugh or move or anything. So can I see a hand again one more time? Ticklish. Okay, so I'm here to tell you that is an absolute fact that most of us, if not all of us, believe that we're ticklish. But the truth is that no one in this room is actually ticklish. So I want you to just take a moment. Don't worry, because everyone's going to be doing it, hopefully, so you don't have to feel silly. But I want you to try to tickle yourself. So in any place that you're normally very ticklish, anyone can get you, just try to tickle yourself. Just take a minute. So it can't happen. You can't tickle yourself because you're not, in truth, ticklish. But the fact is that you grew up believing fully that you're ticklish and that anyone can tickle you. I'm telling you, I was very ticklish. Very ticklish. People could tickle me in I have 5 spots. Anyone could. And now that I've learned that truth, I'm no longer ticklish. It's unbelievable. So this, I'm bringing this to you because we think we are absolutely sure of the facts. We're absolutely sure that facts are facts and they're real. But God says, my truth is what's real. So it doesn't matter what you've seen or what you've been through or what you've learned. God's truth is what's actually real. So I'm going to ask periodically maybe for some facts and truth. For example, the story of Joseph. Most of us, if not all of us, know the story of Joseph. He was sold into slavery by his brothers, put down into a well. They completely had nothing to do with him, betrayed him. And then he was put in a dungeon for something he didn't do. These are all facts in his life. So the facts of his life is that he was not going to be treated well ever, because for many years he was just not treated good. So it looked like, in facts in his mind and from what everyone saw, the facts looked like God wasn't his biggest fan because bad things kept happening to him again and again and again. But the truth the whole time was that God already made a promise to him. God already gave him dreams where people would bow down to him, even his brothers who sold him. And the truth was is that God was going to make him a great leader, and he told him of that, and he stood on that. And the truth is that even through those hard times, God kept lifting him up. He kept raising him up. He kept raising him up, and he kept raising him up. And I'm here to tell you that God is doing the same thing to you. Whether you see it or not, believe it or not, it doesn't matter, because that's who God is. And he's going to keep raising you up, and he's going to keep getting you through. So how do we know truth from facts? Truth is obviously most important. So the word of God. The word, Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is active and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, and is able to cut even between bones and marrows and soul and spirit. So our spirit is where the Holy Spirit communes with us, talks through us, teaches us things, comforts us. Our soul is where our mind, will, and emotions are. So the word of God helps us separate truth in our spirit and what the Holy Spirit teaches us, and facts, what our mind, will, and emotions. We often want things to be truth that are facts. We want to believe certain things that God didn't necessarily promise us. For example, for me, I'm not a big fan of struggling, especially long-term struggling. So I convince myself repeatedly that, you know, God's going to come save me, take me out of this immediately. And then even though he is telling me, mind you, in this, my spirit, and he is telling me in my spirit, you're not getting out of this yet. You're going to go through a little bit of a struggle, but I'm going to show you more of me and more of how much I love you and more of how I can comfort you in this time. So at times in the past, not anymore in Jesus' name, but I would want to listen to my facts that, well, God is totally going to deliver me from this, like, right now. But his truth is that, Karen, I'm showing you more of me, so this is going to be a little bit of a struggle, but you get to see all these things in me. So, and then another example in Moses, he grew up with a sense of false confidence. So he grew up in Pharaoh's house, and he had royalty, and he had all these people looking up to him and all that. So he, all his confidence was in that. And oftentimes we get our confidence in what people think of us, or what our parents tell us, or our leaders, our bosses, or just any people that you look up to. We put our confidence in what they think of us. And then Moses separated from that because he chose God instead of that, the world. And then when it came time to go speak to God, when God was speaking to him saying, you're going to deliver my people, Moses showed his where his true confidence was at. He didn't have a lot. He was like, you've got to be kidding. I can't speak. I have no confidence. I don't know why you're doing this to me. He was just literally a mess when it came to confidence. So, because that's real God confidence. That was truth that he didn't know yet. He didn't know God's truth about him. How much God loved him. How much he had a great calling for his life. How much God wanted to do through him. He didn't know that truth yet. And you can read through Exodus, as he's going to speak to Pharaoh, you can see how much he grew in confidence, real confidence, truth, because he was getting to know who he was in the Father, who his true identity was. So I want you guys to keep that in mind, because you have been told things, whether they've been bad things or even things that seem good, you've been told a lot of facts about who you are, and you've believed a lot of facts about who you are. But it's more important to learn who God says you are, because that is the truth. The truth is that you are a son and a daughter of the King of Kings. You are a son and daughter of the Father in heaven, who is the creator of everything that ever existed and ever will exist. You belong to him. And you are a co-heir with Jesus, Jesus Christ, who owns and can do anything he wants. You're a co-heir with him because of what he did for us, the fact that he died for us and was raised again. We now live in those heavenly places with Jesus. Those are the truths. So the truth is you can receive everything that he says you can receive: health, prosperity, long life. All the things he promises in his words are yours, because that's truth. The facts might say, well, I feel sick right now, or this person died, or this happened to this person, or I can't pay this bill. Those may look like facts to you, but those aren't truth. God will switch that. but it is up to us to continuously be filled on truth. Another scripture, Psalm 119:9, that talks about living a path of purity. So that doesn't just mean like when we think purity, we think of like physical or sexual purity. It doesn't just mean that. It's pureness of heart. It's a pure, open, childlike heart to believe what God has for us. And that also is what the Bible can help us with, is walking in that path of purity, so that we're open to hear from him and what he has for us. So when you hear a doctor's report, is that a fact or a truth? Anyone can shout it out, say anything. Fact. So doctors are smart people. Doctors know a lot of things. Doctors can tell you that you will forever have something. Doctors can tell you that you will forever have fibromyalgia, that you'll have arthritis, that you'll have ulcerative colitis for the rest of your life, that you will have scoliosis for the rest of your life. Doctors can tell you of cancer, and they can pick a stage to describe it. They can tell you lots of things, and those may be facts according to this world. But God's truth is that I am your healer. I redeem all things, everything, and I make all things new. That includes the cells of your body. That includes the organs in your body. And we need truths, and we need signs and wonders of truths. You've probably read a lot of different stories in the Bible where people are constantly needing truths to the point where Jesus even gets frustrated, and he's like, how long must I be with you people? Can't you just believe me? I am God. I have proven myself. But we do, as humans, we like to see proof. Well, there, God will have proof around you. He will show you. He loves to teach us and grow us in truth. So he will consistently show you. I've seen all those things I've listed, that I just listed, I've seen people be completely delivered from, who are still delivered from it many years later, who are still completely, perfectly healthy and whole. I've seen people get diagnosed with stage 4 cancer who are now completely delivered, healthy and whole, and have had no problems. And I believe it's been almost 2 years now for that one. I was told that I have ulcerative colitis, which is a lifelong thing, and it's now a problem every time I go to the doctor and they want to check me and they say, oh, I see in your record you have colitis. I said, nope, I had colitis years ago. And it's an issue every time I go. And this last time I went, I was like, I'm still supposed to do these and get checked up and everything, and I'll keep doing it. But I don't want to keep getting in these debates about whether I have it or not. And so he's like, well, I see you're on all this medication, and whatever happened with that, you're just not taking medication. And I said, yeah, if you keep looking, you'll see that they've gone back and checked, and it's been gone for, I think, like 10 years, 15 years, something like that. But the doctor at that time, who was a good doctor, a very well-known doctor, said that I had it, it was a fact, and I was going to have it the rest of my life, and he even said it would most likely turn into cancer. Well, there's been no sign of it for like 15 years, because God's truth is that I'm healed and I'm healthy and I'm whole, and I don't have to tolerate sickness of any kind because Jesus took it for me. And that's the same for you. God doesn't like me any more than he likes you. Trust me when I say that. That would be absolutely silly. But so it's same is true for you. So does this mean that if you're not healthy right now, it's your fault and you're doing something wrong? No, it just means that we need to come into the full awareness of who we are in him and his truth. We just need to keep working towards that. It's part of life. But I'm not going to go too far into that. I just wanted to give you some of those examples, because all of those things, like I said, that I've listed, I've seen people completely delivered from, including deafness, nearsightedness, some legally blind people I've seen now have perfect sight. These are all because they moved into God's truth. So now Proverbs 4:23. I have three different versions of this. The New International Version says, above all else, guard your heart. Everything you do flows from it. So that's a pretty bold statement. Everything you do comes from your heart. So we want our heart to be in a good place so that we're doing good things and we're getting a good return. The Living Bible says, above all else, guard your affections, for they influence everything else in your life. So one of the definitions of affections is emotions. So the emotions that are coming from your heart influence everything else that you do. So that's one of the ways that our heart is influencing things that we do. The Message version, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. So vigilant watch, that's like constantly watchful of what is going in your heart. What's going in your eyes, what's going in your ears, what's eventually going to go in your heart, what you're believing, what you're picking up on. And so many times when I have conversations with people about what they're watching or what they're doing, they say, oh, well, I know that's not real. Or I know, like movies, for example, or TV, for example, or whatever. You know, I'm not here to tell you what to watch or not to watch. But except Joe, maybe. I will do that for Joe. But what I am saying, though, is it does affect you even when you don't realize it. There was a phase in my life I had all kinds of fear. It was actually right after I had Isabella. She was just a baby. I had all kinds of fear, and I was diagnosed with all kinds of things. Obsessive compulsive disorder, depression. What else? Anxiety. Yeah, anxiety. So I had all kinds of issues, and I kept praying about it. I was like, Lord, what is going on? And he told me to stop watching a certain TV show I was watching regularly. Pretty sure it was Law and Order Criminal Intent. Not to convict anyone that watches that. This was me in my life. So I was like, that's not affecting me. I know that's not real. I know that's not going to happen. I know whatever. And the Holy Spirit said, I just want you to fast it for 40 days and we're just going to try it. You don't have to believe me. Just don't watch it for 40 days. See what happens. Yeah. So throughout the 40 days, I already started seeing major changes in my life. And after the 40 days, it was a miracle. Like all those problems were gone. Like I just had so much more peace. And it's unbelievable. And I'm not a dumb person. I know that TV is TV. I know that they're acting. I know that's not really happening. I know those people aren't really doing those things. I'm smart enough. I can separate myself from that. But it was affecting me. It was getting into my heart. I was consistently seeing it, and it was getting into my heart. So he was calling me vigilant and guard my heart. And remember, it says that's where life starts. How many of you want your life to start in a good place? So your life can start every day. Jesus said that he makes all things new. He makes all things new every day. So our life can start right now and will again because he's making us new and we're working on being new. So one of the ways that we can keep watch over our hearts and guard our hearts and see where we're at is through emotions. Our emotions are just tools. They bring us joy too. They bring us good things, but emotions are tools that need to be used properly. So, as I mentioned, some facts aren't actually true. Well, your heart, as Jeremiah explains in 17:9, your heart, it does lie to you. It deceives you and lies to you. Because of the stuff we put in it, it sometimes says things that aren't true to us, through our mouths. And twice, Jesus explains that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what you're saying is showing you and others the state of your heart. So if you're speaking a lot of negative things about yourself or about life or about others, then there's some things in your heart that need to be healed and need to be dealt with, that need to be basically loved on and taken care of by our Father, the one who takes care of us. So you don't obey your emotions. You don't live by your emotions. And you certainly don't do things based on emotions because then you'll get yourself into trouble. I've learned from a lot of experience in that. You don't want to do that. But you can master your emotions. So we learned in crisis counseling. I trained others in crisis counseling. And the main thing we learned when dealing with people who are in crisis is to help them see their emotions, to help them. It's called owning their emotions. So when someone denies an emotion they're feeling, that's not a good place to be. It's going to cause more crisis. But when you're owning your emotions, you can then see what's under that. So we were trained for many hours, 130 hours was the basic training, just how to pick out people's emotions for them, how to empathize, see their emotions, and pick them out for them. Why? Because that's what gets them out of crisis. They sometimes think, I want to die right now. I want to kill myself. That's sometimes what they call with, and they believe it. Then we go through their emotions, and they see, oh, I'm angry at this. I feel out of control here. I feel betrayed by this. They look at all their emotions, and then they can see what their heart is telling them through these emotions. Their heart could be telling them, well, you're doing this thing wrong in your life that you need to stop doing, or this person is not a good influence on you, so you need to get away from them. Our emotions can be telling us different things. So we need to own them and reflect on them for a moment and see where they're coming from. Again, not to dwell on them and live by them. You can see lies that are underneath emotions. So a big one is anger, because it can come from so many things, so many wounds and hurts, unforgiveness, selfishness. There's a lot of places anger can come from, and the Bible warns a lot about anger. It warns us to do not sin in your anger, do not let the sun go down in your anger. Ephesians 4:26, don't sin, don't let the sun go down in your anger. I don't think I have that one up there. No. But it's that important, because anger can open a door for the enemy. So it says, don't let the sun go down in your anger, or give the devil a foothold. So that's what can give the devil a foothold. So anger is something to take seriously. Okay, so as I mentioned, it can come from hurts. It can come from unforgiveness. It can come from just selfish desires. James 4 tells us that selfish desires that can then turn into every form of evil and wrath and all kinds of things. So when we see ourselves getting angry, or we express, have an angry tone, express anger, get angry at someone, like, again, it can lead to hatred and lots of other things. So we need to go to the Lord and ask him where that anger is coming from. We need to reflect on that anger. Like I said, it can be a hurt that you just need him to heal. It can be a consistent thing that keeps festering, that the enemy keeps messing with, that keeps making you angry. So we go to the Lord, we ask him, you know, what is the lie? What is that that keeps making me angry? Why do I keep lashing out like this? Why do I keep acting like this? What is that? You pray about it. And maybe he doesn't show you right away. That's okay. Just say, Father, I need you to take this anger from me. Please heal me wherever I need to be healed, and show me what your truth is, because I guarantee there's a lie somewhere in there. So oftentimes, for example, we get angry when people hurt us. If someone does something to hurt you, you get angry at that. The fact is, that person, 9 times out of 10, is not trying to hurt you. They're just saying something they shouldn't say, or they're mad in the moment, or they don't know better, or they don't know that it's going to hurt your heart. I can't tell you how many things I said to John that I had no idea was going to hurt him, that I look back on and I'm like, wow, that was really dumb. Of course that's going to hurt him. Like, I just, at the time, didn't realize it. We don't always realize it. I mean, that doesn't mean everybody, but sometimes people do want to lash out and do want to say something hurtful. But the point is, we have a choice. We don't have to get angry that somebody just hurt me. The Bible is very clear that we pray for our enemies. We pray for those who hurt us, who persecute us. We can choose to pray for them, and we can say, why did that make me so angry? Why did that hurt me so bad? We need to be reflective. We need to own our emotions, because it's important to see the state of our heart, where it's at, because everything we do flows from our heart. So we need to see where our heart is at, and that's how it shows it. That's one of the ways. So just as simple as asking the Lord, what is that? Where did that come from? Why did I react like that? Why did I just yell at that person? Or why did I just get so angry at that person? And again, I'm talking about anger a lot because A, it was a problem for me, and B, I think that, you know, the Bible warns us a lot against it. I mean, the enemy loves it when we're angry, you know, and also a big thing that I've learned is that anger can come from just not trusting our Father for who he is. So again, back to the facts versus truth thing, if you grew up with a father who was maybe critical or hard on you, or maybe even put you down, insulted you or abused you in any way, even though you're smart enough to know God's not like that according to the Bible, there may still be a lie in you believing that. So you may not go to the Father as much as you would like to, because you may believe he's going to be mad at you, or he's going to criticize you, or he's going to discipline you for something. So I'd like to take a moment. I'd like to take a moment where we all ask the Father if there's a lie we're believing about him. So, and I can, I do this a lot in my ministry, in one-on-one time, and in my ministry, I ask people a lot, like, to take a moment and ask the Father if there's a lie, and I've never, ever had anyone not reveal something. So, maybe you're a person who doesn't always hear from him very clearly or through the Holy Spirit. Anything you believe you're seeing, just take that. Just take it as him in this moment. I prayed you would hear from him clearly, you would see something. So if he shows you something, if he shows you an image of something, or if he tells you something, I want you to write it down. So Isabella is going to hand out some pens if anyone needs any, because this is very important, because it's really important to know of any lies that you're believing about the Father, because that's where our true identity starts, is what he sees in us and how much he loves us. So Bella, walk down the middle aisle. If you could raise your hand if you need a pen, if anyone needs something to write with in any way. And you can write on your bulletins. There's room for notes. Bella, you can just walk through, and if anyone... I'm going to be praying while you're closing your eyes. And so in your mind, you're just going to say, Father God, please show me if there's any lie that I'm believing about you. Whatever you think of, whatever you see, whatever you feel, just write that down. Does anyone have anything they want to share that he showed you? Remember, we're having class participation day today. Okay, well, I'll talk about what he just showed me then. Because I asked him, and obviously I've done this several times, but he still reveals new things periodically. But what he told me just now is that apparently I'm still believing that his timing is the same as my timing. There's some things I'm waiting for. Apparently I'm getting a little impatient about that. So now what I'm going to do is, what we're all going to do is we're going to ask him what is a truth that he wants to give us. It can either be related to that or a different truth, but preferably related to whatever he showed you. So we're going to close our eyes again for a minute. We're going to say, Father God, thank you for revealing to us a truth that you want us to see about who you are and how you feel about us. Anyone want to reveal a truth they just got? Did you want to reveal?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm your provision, your rock, and I am protecting you in ways you don't even know or see.
Praise God. He is our provision, our rock, and he does protect us in all ways. And he just revealed to me that I can, in fact, trust him all the time, not just when it's easy. So I thank you, Father, for all the truths that you reveal to us. Thank you, Lord. So some other emotions that can reveal where your heart's at, of course, is joy. Joy is one. Peace, that can show you that you're in a good place. You're trusting. You're living by your spirit. You're trusting in him. And you have life in you, because that's where those emotions come from. That's what's in your heart. That's what brings that emotion. I also just want to mention really quickly that a lot of people don't realize that there's a difference between an emotion of judgmental and being judgmental. It's okay to feel judgmental of someone or something, but you need to recognize that and you need to deal with that. So if I feel judgmental of someone, like, well, that person was just rude. They must not like me. What's their problem or whatever? That's a feeling and an emotion I'm having in that moment. And I need to explore that and see why I'm feeling judgmental. Romans 2:1 states that we judge others what we do ourselves. So that's the first thing I look at. What do I do that I see that and that bothered me? Also, basically dealing with that emotion, realizing that you're feeling judgmental in that moment and you need to deal with that responsibly. You need to look at that. You need to pray about that. You need to pray for that person. That's all okay and good. When you don't deal with that and when you start to be judgmental and you're talking out loud about that instance or that person and you're starting to like just accept it as a truth when it's not, that's being judgmental. So I just wanted to state that. So in dealing with emotions, judgmental is an emotion that you can deal with and you need to, because one of the top ways that I hear consistently, the Lord leads me with words of knowledge and things. He leads me to a lot of strangers, random strangers, to talk about him. Like, he'll give me something personal about their life and I'll go talk to them and everything. And the number one thing that I see with them, people I know, people I've counseled, is that people are afraid of Christians because Christians seem judgmental. So I'm sure that's not true about anybody here, but it's something we all need to be aware of, that judgmental can be a feeling. So I just want to encourage all of you, and I do this too, and I'm certainly not saying I'm never judgmental or anything like that, but I know how important it is, because when I was growing up, before I was walking with Jesus, it was the same thing for me. Like, I actually had a conversation with the Father. I've probably told you guys this before, but it's that important to me to repeat, that I actually had a conversation with him, and I said, when I knew he was telling me Jesus was the way I needed to follow Jesus, and I said, okay, I'll do this whole Christian thing, but I'm not going to be judgmental, because I was so convinced that in order to be Christian, I had to be judgmental. So, and again, I'm not saying that about any of you. I'm just saying that just to talk about the difference between a feeling of judgmental and being judgmental. So it's just kind of important to know where our hearts are at and to keep talking to him about that. So, and when dealing with hearts and emotions and all that, it's, and facts versus truth, it's important. Proverbs 3:5, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. It's important in all your ways to acknowledge him, his truths, his word in the Bible. Every day I want to encourage you to read the Bible and journal. Journal what he's telling you, because he's going to speak to you personally using the scriptures. So make sure you journal that, because he's going to give you promises for your future in that. So when your heart, through your emotions or through any other way, tells you something you don't understand, you need to wrestle with God. A lot of that stems from judgmental. So a lot of things, we can be judgmental if we don't understand something. There's a lot of things that the world tells us regularly and that we grow up with and that's in our face all the time. And if you don't understand something, for example, which I'm not going to get into a big debate or tell you anything that eventually came out of it because we don't have time for that right now. But when I first came to the Lord, I struggled with the whole thing of homosexuality. Not only did I go through a time in my life where I believed that was a fact for me, but I also had lots of friends and family members and still do who label themselves as homosexual. So we're not going to get into a debate about it. But the point was, it took me 2 years of wrestling with God to make peace with that. Here's what your Bible says repeatedly. I don't understand. Here's my friends and family who I love and who love each other, and I just don't understand. I had to wrestle and wrestle and wrestle. Don't let it sit there. Don't just let it sit. Don't have that, the world says this, the Bible says this. That's just how it is. There's just two different things. I have to pick a side. Nope, you don't have to pick a side. You have to wrestle with God. You have to have conversations with him. You have to go to him every time that feeling comes up, whether you're feeling judgmental, feeling scared, you're feeling angry, you're feeling loving, you're feeling whatever you're feeling about that subject, you have to go talk to him about it. You have to say, I don't understand why it says this in your word and why this is everywhere and totally great. Like in your mind, you have to make sense out of that. 2 years it took me of almost constantly wrestling with God, trying to make sense of it. So obviously the most famous story of wrestling with God is we find in Genesis chapter 32 with Jacob. I was going to read it, but for time's sake, I might just summarize it. So it talks about how Jacob wrestles with God. An angel representing God, that happens in the Bible sometimes. An angel will come down, look like a man, but he's there representing God. And that's why he doesn't tell Moses his name, Jacob his name, sorry. Because he's representing God. So his name doesn't matter because he was there 100% as God in that moment, in just that representing God as ambassador for God. So so if you look back earlier in Genesis chapter 32, Jacob says to God, "Oh God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, 'Go back to your country and to your relatives, and I will make you prosper.'" So Jacob is taking this to God and he's saying, "Look at this. I'm not prospering right now. You said you'd be kind to me." Another version says you'd be kind to me. He promises I'll be kind to you. That was another version. So if you look at my circumstances, Father, you're not being kind to me and you're not prospering me, because this is what it looks like. So Jacob is wrestling with God over this. And even to the extent of there's an extra struggle in the wrestling because the angel representing God pulls his hip socket out and just for fun. I don't know what that's all about. But for this example, it shows us that just because we're struggling with God and we're doing the right thing, we're trying to understand why his promises aren't matching what we're seeing, sometimes it gets a lot harder before it becomes better. So sometimes it gets worse and worse, and you're tempted to just be angry at God and say, "You know what? Clearly you've given up on me. I'm going to go rebel. I'm going to go do whatever I need to do, comforts of this world, whatever that is for you. I don't know, but I'm just going to go rebel. I'm going to go eat this that's not good for me. I'm going to drink this that's not good for me. I'm going to watch this that's not good for me." Whatever we do to rebel against God, that's one choice we could make. Or we could say, "You know what? I'm going to think back to Jacob. He took his promise. He stood on his promise that God said to him. God spoke to him clearly. God spoke to Moses clearly. God speaks to us clearly. He never stops speaking to us. Never. What is he speaking to you? What are the promises that he's given to you? If you don't have promises to stand on, you need to go to his word today and ask him for personal words for you. What does your life entail? What does he have for your life?" Because you stand on those, and even there's tons of scriptures, I mean, about you being healthy and whole, living a long, prosperous life, the plans I have for you to prosper you and not to harm you, to bring you hope and a future. There's tons of promises. You can stand on any of them. They're all yours. The Bible was written just for you, just for you, just so you can stand on those promises. So when you're going through a struggle and when your life doesn't look like what the Bible says it's supposed to look like, that's when you take it to God consistently. Again, don't let it sit, please. That's where things fester. That's where it turns into anger, depression, rebellion, all kinds of things that the devil likes to try to do to us. So, and sometimes, and but Jacob did get his promises. He did get his blessings. He struggled with God. He even got his hip pulled out of socket and kept going. He's tough. He went through a lot, that Jacob. But he did a lot. So, I mean, he kind of reaped what he sowed. But he got blessed. And the angel even changed his name. Said that you'll now be called Israel because you wrestled with God and man and won. He stated, the Bible stated, that he wrestled with God and won. We all win when we wrestle with God and when there can be reconciliation to what the world tells us and what the Bible tells us. We need to reconcile the two. We don't just take sides. You can. I mean, you can just believe the Bible and just, you know, I just 100% the Bible. And that's great if that's true in your heart. It's not just your words. If you can just take the Bible as truth and that's in your heart, great. But what often happens is that we pretend that we 100% believe the Bible. And then when we're faced with a challenge, like we have someone close to us who's not living in a certain way the Bible says or whatever, then we're challenged and we're like, wait a minute, I don't know what to believe or how to act or who to be or anything. So we have to reconcile so that we can truly walk with our hearts in love and in non-judgmental attitudes towards people and towards our circumstances. So Jacob was blessed. He did get blessed with all the prosperity and the kindness that God wanted to give him. So, know his promises. Know his promises to you personally. Know his promises in the Word. And hold on to those. And in that wrestling time too, Jacob gained a whole lot more faith too. It's in the wrestling time that I know for me, sometimes I whine and complain about. But really, when I come out of that, I've grown in so much faith, it's absurd. I look back and I'm like, I cannot believe I just dealt with all that. I mean, like the last 10 years of having children, I love them so much. But sometimes it's been really challenging, and I look back and I'm like, I cannot believe I made it through that time in the last almost 5 years of having three children. Like, it's just insane, some of the things that I went through, and, you know, I'm still sane today, and everything is going well. But they are, of course, incredible blessings. But at the time, sometimes you think to yourself, I don't even know how I can make it through. But it's then that you're growing and you're learning and you're seeing. I know now, nobody in the world, you could all be holding guns to my head. Nobody could convince me that Jesus doesn't completely love me, completely 100% love me. And I can say to you, I have no idea why, other than that's just who he is. I know I've done so many things that he could have easily just wiped me out. Everyone would have been fine. Everything would have been fine. But he doesn't, because of who he is, and he feels the same way about you. He loves all of you so much and wants to bless you like crazy. Sometimes we go through wrestling. And another thing, when you're going through a time of wrestling and a time of reconciling things and understanding things, just simply ask him, what do you want me to learn in this? I ask him that a lot. And or sometimes I'll say, what do you want from me? I don't say that anymore because the answer is always the same. Everything. Always the answer. What do you want from me, God? Everything. Okay, different question. How long? What do you want me to learn from this is the best question. What do you want me to learn from this? And he will show you. He'll show you what he wants you to learn. And it's always for our own good. It's never for him. It's for us. That's just who he is. So one of my favorite scriptures, Psalm 139, 23 through 24, is search me and know my heart, know my anxieties, know my anxious thoughts. Show me anything that is offensive to you, O Lord, and lead me on the way of the everlasting. So that is a really good scripture for you. 139, 23, 24, to just ask him to show you your anxieties, because your anxiety is based on fear, and that shows you something in your heart that's fearful. So ask him to show you where that is, and then ask him to clean that out and lead you in the path of the everlasting, on his path. I think it's significant that Matthew 5:8 says that blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. How many people want to see God? When you see God, you're seeing who he is. You're seeing what he can do for you. You're seeing why on earth he sent his son to die for you. You're seeing all those things in God. And you also get to see more. You get to see through his eyes. You get to hear through his ears. You get to feel through his heart. It's an amazing whole world that he can open up for you. That's called the world of the prophetic, the prophetic. It's a whole thing he can see. The things that he has shown me in people's hearts, and it's amazing. And I would not have believed it 5-10 years ago that I could see the things I can see now. And the things you can see, I'm sure you can look at that. Look at your life 10 years ago and the things you see now. You're seeing God, you're seeing more of God. The more you walk with him, the more you're reading the Bible, the more you're spending time with him, the purer you're getting in your heart, and the more you can see him. So everything you do flows from your heart. Guard your heart, fill it with truth, because everything stems from your heart, everything comes from your heart. Keep a vigilant watch on it. Pay attention to everything that is coming out of your mouth, because that's how your heart is speaking to you and others. Deal with those emotions. Don't pretend they're not there. It doesn't do any good. And they get bigger and they spread if you're not dealing with them. So deal with your emotions. Put them aside. Just quickly talk to God about it. It can be a 2-minute thing. And make sure you're spending time with him every day for healing and reconciliation of any deceit, any lies in your heart, anything that he wants to show you. You have to spend time in his word and time with him, and please journal what you think he's saying to you. And there'll be times that you write something down, you're like, I don't know if this is God or not, but you'll write it down, and then a year later, you'll look back, or a month later or whatever, you'll look back and you'll see how very true it was. The things he wants to do for you, and ways, gifts he wants to give you, and ways he wants to bless you. So I guess I didn't make you participate as much as I was going to, but. So I'm just going to ask everybody to engage your own will. So as I pray, you need to, in your mind, in your heart, engage your own will. So if everyone can just close your eyes, bow your heads. I also want to give this opportunity, if there's anyone in here who hasn't given their life to Jesus and asked him to be Lord over your life, because that is the first step to seeing real truth in who you are and how you walk in this life. So I want to give you that opportunity. If you're sure that you have given your life to Jesus, you have said the prayer to ask him to be your Lord and Savior, you believe he died and was raised from the dead just for you, for your salvation, if you're positive that you had that moment with him, please raise your hand. Okay, thank you. You can put your hands down. Now, right now, I'm going to give you the opportunity, if you'd like to give your life to Jesus, to have truth, to have him living inside you, to have that peace, to have that hope that you didn't even know was possible. I'm asking you, with everyone's heads down, eyes closed, please raise your hand. This is your time. If you want to give your life to Jesus, now is the time. Okay, we're all going to pray together. So I'm going to ask you all to follow me in this prayer and engage your heart and your will, because free choice is real and it's in everything. So as you're praying this prayer, I want you to focus on engaging your will and your free choice to accept these prayers. So if you follow me, Father God, I thank you for your son, Jesus. Who died for me and was raised again. I ask Jesus to be Lord over my life. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing me my heart and any area that needs to be cleaned out. I thank you, Jesus, as my Lord, you rule in my heart. You will clean my heart out completely. And I thank you, Father, that I will walk in purity of heart. And I will see you. And I will see what you see. Thank you, Father, for your love for me, for your healing in every way, and for all the prosperity you have for me. I engage my will to receive all of this and all of the promises in the Bible of all of the blessings you have for me. In Jesus' name, amen.